of nicotinic acid.
Welcome to the Cosmic Overdrive, your source of deranged music on Intergalactic FM. Your host for this evening, Rude 66.
great is the fear for you. When your eye takes the field against those who try to rave against you. Make your eye go down and strike the mutineers with disaster. The eye shouldn't rest in your forehead. Now it has to go down as at all. And the eye of Rhee mounts down from his divine grove, down there on earth, and strikes them with disaster.
Cosmic Overdrive with your host, Route 66.
Yeah. Sie hören sich jetzt das kosmische Übertreiben an. Präsentiert von Udi66.
There's a cry in the air. I'll catch you as before. I am a dragonfly hunter.
And there again is the circle. There again is the circle. The effort, see, the complete effort to be beautiful. And being beautiful, well, the whole of anything is supposed to be solemnly understood. Only effort is the effort, not the complete thing, but the effort. The effort is the beauty. The effort.
How long is waiting? How short is life? Blue morning glories.
And that morning, or that moment, when it didn't really matter to live or die, it really didn't matter to live or die, that suspended animation of being, that is true perfection.
Coin on a plate, bird in a cage, a summer festival.
And every man becomes free within the bounds of his own shackles. The real freedom, the true freedom, is concept.
Keeper of their own, basis of life, your yawning cat.
The effort to be me. Oh, what an effort, what an effort. The effort to be me. The quest, the curiosity. And there again, the perfection of effort. The perfection of effort.
Descending down the road, I'll bring you up, though you may not know.
And as she walked, She became a part of the divine canvas upon which the immortal hand of God painted his seasonal masterpiece to beautify his domain. She had worn well her garment of flesh of 23 years, for it was yet tender and ripe, as if still holding the perfumed dampness of a mother's womb.
Happy childhood. Four turn, melting into mist.
It's but a vapor, truly a vapor. The dream, the quest for reality, the taut desperation, the quest for reality. Coin on a plate, a bird in a cage, a summer festival.
During New Year's, I think it's one of the biggest days. They carry on for 2-3 days. And we eat lots of different kind of foods, such as specially prepared rice cakes, bean curds, red carp, rice wine, lotus roots, red caviar. And this is a pretty food, you know, and it's all decorated. And sushi, sashimi. And it's such an artistic thing they go through just to prepare one dish. It was one of the exciting days. Because you play many games, such as you fly kites, play cards, you get gifts. And you see dragon dances. And my parents would take us to a friend's house and pay a greeting to them, such as Happy New Year. And you hand them a token, money or present. And you go around all day almost paying visits to many people. I think it's nice.
Keeper of their own basis of life. You old yawning cat.
In Japan, people would go fishing for a 2-inch fish with a long 10-foot bamboo pole. 10 to 15 feet bamboo pole just to catch this 2-inch fish. But they enjoy this, doing this more than catching the bigger fish, because this little fish with this thin long bamboo pole gave you more fight than any other fish did in a smaller way. But like, you know how you could become smaller and have just as much fun. And that this is what they did. And this is what they always do. Catch this 2-inch fish.
There's a cry in the air. I'll catch you as before.
But it's not a big ant eater, like animals. It's like another insect, and it lives like on the ground, and it builds like a wall, sort of out of a pebbly sand, like not a fine sand, but like a rounded sand, and it builds sort of like a volcano kind of a mountain, and it stays in the middle, in the bottom. And when the ant climbs to the top of it, he just did one part of the bottom rock. The whole dirt pile would just fall down, and the ant would just roll down to the bottom. And every time he tries to climb up, he would just fling a little more dirt, and the ant would roll down into this hole, and eventually gets eaten up.
How long is waiting? How short is life?
Soil. one by one with their feet in muddy water, and I watch these people go down the furrows and watch the slow progress of them. But it's so beautiful, just the way they look.
Exclaiming and so happy about it was so much a part of the dog that there was a certain tolerance, a certain patient, gentle tolerance on the part of the dog that allowed the dog to sit and wait until I had exhausted this exhilaration.
This snake, which was a poison snake, but he had carried it all the way home alive. When he came home, he just cut his head off and tore the skin right off his back in one shot. Took out the hearts and the intestines, and he put the heart in his hand, and the heart was still pumping, still moving. And he said to my brother, "Yeah, swallow this, it'll make you stronger." And then he hesitated, but he swallowed. And I didn't know what to do. But I wanted to, there was only one heart. Anyway, I watched this bone like thing, and it was still moving. And he hung it up to let it dry, because he wanted to eat it after it dried up, because it's supposed to taste good. And I watched this thing move for around 3-4 hours in amazement that it kept on moving.
Did you ever have a pregnant dog? And how far removed we are from that reality, from that true reality. I remember, too, taking blades of grass and not being so fascinated by the grass itself, or the blade of grass, but the fact that I could actually touch, and I knew that I was touching the blade of grass. And then I took my fingers and I rub them across the grass. And it, again, it wasn't the grass that so excited me, but the fact that I could touch and smell and see. And that too is the miracle of reality. And I would look again at my fingertips. And I would rub the thumb against the other finger. Perhaps words don't really express it. But I would think, and sometimes aloud I would say, I can touch. I can touch. I can touch. And then I would look. And I would say, I could see. I can see. I can see. All the miracle of reality. And then, I guess the most exciting part, the most exciting circumstance, was when I found out I could love. I could love, I could feel love. And that became the most beautiful miracle of reality. And it's probably the miracle that I'll never be able to quite absorb or ever become used to. Perhaps because love is the true, most complete miracle of reality. Perhaps it's the lost chord that we always speak of or feel the absence of, and what we're constantly in pursuit of.
Makes a head of all wisdom.
It is all wisdom. See that? Love. Feeling. Perhaps the true circumstance of communication. Because if I feel sufficiently, and if I feel with honesty, my honesty, then I am wise in reacting to that. And everything from it is wisdom. It has to be. But true wisdom. With a child. Why did you do that? I just felt like it, mommy. I just felt like it. And so with love, it's like the mother that embraces all and everything, that makes everything feel so secure. And without it, there's so much insecurity. And even now, as I think about it, I'm about discovering love. Even now, you try to drink of it, and then the thirst goes on. Love.
In Japan, I didn't hear about the atom bombs so much until they started testing in the Bikini Islands once again. And the fishermen who were fishing for tuna nearby the islands, and all of a sudden there was white flakes like falling like snow everywhere on around the boat and everything. And the fishermen, they didn't know what it was, and they thought it was snow. So They grabbed the snow and they would eat some as water, because it tastes good and everything. After a few days, they started losing hair, skin started peeling, and many died. And the tunas were also poisonous, and it has killed many people in Japan. That's when it really hit me about the atom bomb. The first atom bomb I was born, and the horror of it, although I've seen in films and read about them, I was not born, or I was not grown enough to read about it. One of my friends I met here has told me about, he was 100 miles away when the atom bomb was dropped in Hiroshima. And he was walking home from school, and all of a sudden everybody around him started to bleed from their noses, including him. And he didn't even know what happened until later on, you know, that it was atom bomb.
You ever hunt dragonflies?
Many times. I'll catch them again.
Didn't you think hunting dragonflies is like hunting for something else? Don't you think that is the curiosity that motivates the pursuit of the dragonfly?
I guess so.
To me, it always meant like the pursuit of beauty, the pursuit of an ideal, chasing butterflies. I think our life pattern is like that. We chase beautiful things, and they're ever so elusive. We reach out. You remember as kids, we would grab the butterfly, examine it so complete. And even that wasn't enough. That didn't satisfy. And we went to sleep at night.
Bizarre stories at the end of another episode of Cosmic Overdrive. Cosmic Overdrive 41 was this, live from Amsterdam. And I'm your host for tonight, Route 66. And you could hear a track by Harumi. The track was called Twice Told Tales of the Pomegranate Forest, and it's from a double album that was produced in 1968 by Harumi, who was a Japanese artist, together with Tom Wilson, who was the producer for Velvet Underground and Bob Dylan and Frank Zappa. And it's a quite bizarre album, and it's a double album. This is the whole side three, and it goes on for a few more minutes, but we're running out of time. And before that, of only four tracks that we played this evening, Van de Graaf, Generator, and Aquarian from the Aerosol Grey Machine album from roughly the same time. Before that, we played a track by Eloy, German Teutonic Crowd Rock. And this was from the Ocean album, and the track was called Atlantis. Agony at June the 5th, 84, 98, 13 p.m. Gregorian Earth Time. And we started this evening's episode with Zombie and Taurus. Very hard-rocking track, actually, without any beats, but very powerful sounding synths from the Cosmos album. And that clocked in at almost 14 minutes. And I thought tonight's show would be a good antidote for the show that we did last week with my friend Walter, who played on the metal stuff, 30 seconds tracks. I'm hoping to see some of you guys this Saturday when we play here in the Melkweg in Amsterdam, together with everybody else at the Krem IFM party. And otherwise, join me next week. When we have another 2-hour special with the label boss of the Enfant Terrible label, and he's going to play some tracks that influenced him to get into music, and we're going to do another hour with a little interview and some old and new stuff that was released on the label. So make sure to tune in then, and for now, good night. Forgetting that as we walk on the cement.